The Ryan Murray budget agreement softens the blow of sequestration to the Pentagon mainly by giving the military services more time to prepare for the budget levels mandated by the 2011 Budget Control Act. In 2014, instead of having its budget capped at $498 billion, DOD will be able to spend $521 billion. Nonetheless, that still represents a reduction from last year's budget, and the caps will grow tighter next year. General Ray Odierno, the Army Chief of Staff, says given what are relatively sudden cuts, sequestration's impacts to military readiness won't be completely fixed until the year 2020.
You've got to remember that our budget is based on really three major things. People, our ability to modernize ourselves, and our readiness. And there's lots of things under readiness. There's several things under modernization, such as capital investment and other things that we do. And you got to keep those in the right balance. Sequestration forces us to go right out of balance because I can't take out people fast enough to get the dollars to put into readiness and modernization in order to keep that balance. And so what it's created in the Army is we have about a three-year window, 14, 15, 16, where we're really out of balance. So our readiness and our modernization programs are taking the hit because I can't take people out fast enough.
Not that the Army isn't reducing its force structure. It's already accelerated its earlier plans to draw down from 570,000 soldiers to 490,000, now targeting the year 2015 to accomplish that reduction. Odierno says the Army's still studying whether it can shrink even further in a short time frame.
We're taking out about 20,000 a year. If I go higher than that, it costs me more to take them out. And so we start reducing the savings that we're gaining from the people. So that's the dilemma that we have. So what it did is it impacted our readiness.
Odierno told Federal News Radio in October that out of 45 brigades in the Army, only two were fully trained and ready to deploy to a contingency operation other than Afghanistan. The Army planned to funnel virtually all of its training resources to just seven brigades to get at least those ones to acceptable readiness levels. That was before the budget deal, and Odierno says the relief in 2014 will help, but it won't get the Army to where it needs to be.
So it buys back, it gives us money to buy back some of the readiness. 15, it's a lower number. But the problem is that's great for 14, and I'm thankful for that, that we've gotten that money. But if we don't sustain it, we're going to go right back to where we were in terms of this this problem between the balance of end strength, readiness, and modernization. And so we got to keep that. And right now, if we go to sequestration, I can't get that in balance until about 2020. So what that does is that gives us a period of about 6 years of vulnerability because of this imbalance that we have. And that's the struggle that we're having right now as we work our way through this.
The military personnel cuts the Army has planned for come almost entirely out of the full-time active duty force, not the National Guard or Army Reserve. By the time the current downsizing plans are complete, the Army will be made up of 46% active component and 54% reserve component soldiers.
We think that's about the right percentage that we need to go forward and meet our national security needs. So what that means is as we go forward, and if we have to go lower then 490 in the active component, we will have to take a percentage out of the Guard and Reserve as we move forward. And we're still working on what those numbers are. But it's about keeping that right percentage, about 54% in the Reserve, about 46% in the active. And based on the analysis we've done, which is quite substantial, that gets us about the right level of active readiness. It also gives us the ability for the National Guard to respond over longer periods of time, and it also allows the National Guard to continue to be responsive within their own states. And we think that's about the right balance. Now, if we have to go to the lowest numbers, which is full sequestration, nobody agrees with those numbers, but that's based on the budget levels that we were given. And as I mentioned earlier, I think they might be a bit too low. But we'll still work our way through that. And this will happen it's not something that happens tomorrow. This reduction will continue to happen between now through the end of this decade.
The Ryan Murray agreement also included a provision to cut the deficit by reducing the annual cost of living adjustments that working-age military retirees get in their pensions. Odierno was not willing to comment on whether or not he believes that policy is fair, but he says personnel costs throughout the military need to be reined in one way or another.
Back in the late 90s and 2000s, there was a pay gap between those serving in the military and those with equivalent education levels, experience, et cetera, in our civilian sector. So everyone has worked very hard to close that gap. And I would argue, in fact, we have closed the gap. And in fact, in some cases, you could argue we've exceeded that. So it's time for us to look at pay and compensation to make sure it's in line and something that can be sustainable. I believe that if we continue along the path that we're on, that the cost of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines will be at such a level that we'll have to even reduce our end strength more because we can't afford them. And so what we're trying to do now is do something that's reasonable. We're not cutting pay and benefits. We're trying to reduce the rate of growth of pay and benefits. And so we're looking at packages that will allow us to do it, but it's got to be a comprehensive package that does this. It can't, what I worry about is we can't be piecemealed because we got to understand what the total impacts are on our soldiers, and is it enough for us to keep the all-volunteer force?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.